love everyone at work, but having technical difficulties. So thanks for all your help and tips from everyone, but it's just not working out. So it's voice only for now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what happened there? I saw your point at your
Well, dude,
camera.
All I can hear is my camera. All I can hear is Billy Dodson and Gino Redden and Darren Dreger talking. I'm like, okay, thanks, guys. Have fun at That's Hockey, but we're trying to do a radio show here. So I just said, that's it. Thank you very much. Voice only.
Yeah, you're both out. Noodles
well,
ammo.
I'm staring
Trust
into
me,
the camera.
Trust me, it's for the better.
I'm fine because it was the same thing. I could hear Dreger and Gino talking about, you know, stuff. And I'm like, it was frustrating me because that's what happened yesterday. I was talking and all of a sudden I'm like, who the hell is talking in the background?
Yeah, Grappler gave me great advice. He goes, what's wrong? I go, I can hear Gino and those guys. He goes, turn that off. I go, oh, thanks.
Thanks, Tips.
Yeah, thanks. I haven't been trying to do that.
Yeah, it's very
anyway,
helpful.
We're not going to let it bother us. We're going to, like Nick Nurse would make us do, he'd make us battle through it and be better for it.
Yeah,
battle
do drills. You think he's a big pep talk guy? I don't know if he's a pep talk guy. I wonder what the speech was before Game 7. Was it a bubble pep talk?
Remember Orlando last year? I think he said he just teed off on the fellas and said, I don't want to show a bunch of tapes or whatever. He just said...
That was after Game 1, yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed to work pretty well, I guess.
Maybe we need Nick to give me and Noodles a little pump up to just our audio's all jacked up. We're a mess. We need to hear something for us to battle through.
All right, here he is, the head coach of the Raptors, Nick Nurse. Are you a pep talk guy?
Not in the off season, not at all. Guys. Okay, sure. What's going on, man?
Well, it's 2020, man. We're trying to do radio and TV from home, and it's just every once in a while there's a technical issue. You know that.
Yeah. It's not. It's tough out there right now. All these Zoom press conferences and Zoom, all this stuff, man. It's tough, right?
Yeah.
Did you do your contract through Zoom, or was there any face-to-face involved with that, Nick?
No, we were together in the bubble, so it was easy. We were a little too close for comfort down there, to be honest with you. It was good.
Well, I mean, congratulations. It's well-deserved, needless to say. I mean, you've been on quite the run. You win a championship. You win Coach of the Year. Now you get a nice contract, big payday. How would you compare all those emotions? How do they all add up into one? And what have you made of this ride through 2 years?
Well, winning it for sure was the ultimate. You know, I don't think anything will ever come close to that. That was such a magical run experience, aftermath, all that stuff. And kind of proud of the way the guys played coming out of that. As well, you know, I think they played their guts out this year. But the rest of it, you know, it's like I've been here 7 years. I love it. You know, there's nothing not to love or ownership or organization or fans or country, city. I mean, it's a amazing deal. It's time for a new contract, and it was really simple on both sides for us to do. And I'm really, really happy and really grateful, you know.
Well, absolutely, and again, it's well-deserved. When you consider the bubble experience, and you just went through it for a long time, and there's still four teams cooking down there, and one of them's going to win, and I guess they'll celebrate at the hotel, and then they'll go back to their hometown and, I don't know, have a parade via Zoom with all their fans. The realities of today, does it make you appreciate last year that much more? You know, the fans, the parade, the lunacy of it all?
Well, I think it's got to. You know, I think that is what makes it special. And I think, you know, looking at our thing, you know, we had a Game 7 that should have been in downtown Toronto because we earned it. You know, all those tough West Coast wins on the road early in the year and late in the year and all those, you know, that's what you fight for is if you do end up at a Game 7, you get to have it in your own building, and we didn't get to have it. So, yeah, man, geez, I hope we can get back to being able to do things with each other, you know, with the fans and with the fan base and with in person sooner rather than later, that's for sure.
At any point, did you feel like you had some sort of a benefit from being a higher seed? Like, did the NBA offer up anything that made you feel like, okay, we earned this, we accomplished this, and yeah, we do feel like we've got some sort of leg up on the opposition because we're the higher seed?
Nope.
That's a bit disappointing, and seems like they might have missed the mark on that one.
Yeah, I can't even sugarcoat it or even think of anything remotely close. The answer is nope, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, wow, that's disappointing. With Nick Nurse here of the Raptors, when you consider, you know, the whole ride in the bubble and Game 7 in particular, like you said, you had the opportunity. I mean, it was a close game. It was right there. With everything you just said, do you feel like if you had that home court advantage, if that same game plays out in Toronto, do you feel like you're maybe playing Miami tonight or tomorrow night?
I think it, like you already said it. Now that game, the way it was, could have went either way. I mean, I've already said that late free throw line foul on Norman Powell could have easily gone the other way, probably should have gone the other way, and he'd have been shooting two free throws to tie it with, you know, 40 seconds to go. So it would have been anybody's ball game. But, you know, and it gets play. That's playoff basketball, though, right? We had a couple balls bounce our way in years past. Mike Conley has a three go in and out for Utah, or Denver would be home right now, and now look at them, mm-hmm. right? So it's kind of a lot of good teams, and games are close, and I don't know. I would have loved to have it at home just because, you know, there's nothing like it, right? There's nothing like people in the streets and the vibe in the city and everything when you got a game seven, a big playoff game at home in Toronto.
Well, we believe that you guys would have won had you been in Toronto. I think that the vibe and everything. So, you know, we can't look back at that. But I did want to look back at one thing and ask a question. You know, you're coaching, you're in the heat of the moment, and Jason Tatum almost throws the ball to you. And I know it's not an illegal move. You know, you're on the outline or on the outskirts of the line, but your reaction was almost like, did you think at some point, like, hey, I'm pretty close, and he might have thought that I was an option? Or because you just walked away back to the bench, and it almost said to me, like, hey, nothing to see here. I was just calling to my players or whatever, like that transaction. Like, what was going through your mind when the ball whipped right by you?
Yeah, that's one of those day after things a lot. I mean, like, I didn't even realize it at all. That when it happened, it was just, you know, to me, it was, I mean, Tice was standing right next to me, and he just threw an errant pass, I think. I don't think he was really trying to throw it to me, but yeah, I just was down there fighting, trying to get my guys to play defense. And then obviously I saw how, you know, everybody was talking about it the next day. Like, I was doing it on purpose, and I wore green pants and all that stuff. And it was pretty hard for me not to wear those green pants for game seven, but I thought I probably better not. But it wasn't much to it, you know, from my standpoint. I was just coaching the game.
Yeah.
With Nick Nurse of the Raptors, he's got a new deal. He's going to be here for quite some time, and he's joining us here on Overdrive. So when you look back, I was going to leave that for O, but I think O's just completely disconnected.
Yeah, he fell off. You want to talk about technology, he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He's out. So it's a two-man ship here. You're stuck with the two of us here, Nick. It's not a three-pack of guys anymore. But what about watching the games? You know, I find that always interesting, talking to players and coaches that are out of the playoffs. Some of them just can't do it. Are you a guy that's going to watch tonight? Were you watching last night? How are you reacting to the playoffs still being on?
Yeah, I'm having a harder time putting it on. I am watching a little more of the Western Conference. I'm just like a lot of Canada. I'm in love with Jamal Murray. Right? Mm-hmm. Watching what he's doing, and it's so awesome to watch. I'm having a little harder time turning on the Eastern Conference. I don't know. I don't have a very good taste in my mouth about that, and I don't want to really bring that back. So I'm going to let that roll out until later. But I'll keep watching the Western Conference.
with Nick Nurse. How does this align with your Canadian duties? I know you're still locked in to be their coach for a couple of years, and hopefully you guys get to the Olympics next summer. Hopefully there will be an Olympics, but does it kind of keep you locked in on that job a little bit more, or make it a little bit easier that you're still going to be here in Toronto working with the Raptors and kind of in the Canadian territory to be able to follow everything and know what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a long-term gig. You know, I think with the extension and being here with the Raptors, it will enable me certainly to have a chance at you know, coaching the national team. I think that is a long-term project that we're putting together. There's a lot of talent in the youth side of it as well. So trying to bring that all up from the younger ages on. But it was good. The bubble, that's one good thing about the bubble. I did get to see a lot of the guys and, you know, bump into them a lot more frequently just walking down the hotel hallway or in the lobby or whatever. And it was nice to be able to do that. And they were all very, very positive about playing for the national team and excited for it. And I'm with you. I hope there is a Tokyo. We need Tokyo to happen at some point before we can get there. And hopefully that'll, you know, we'll all keep our fingers crossed for that.
I agree. Nick, did you, I guess maybe learn a little bit more about your team or your group being in the bubble, being that close, kind of seeing the day to day, maybe how guys lived away from the court, you know, just being kind of trapped in that scenario. Did you learn maybe something that you didn't know about some of the younger guys that either you liked or would like to maybe change in the off season?
I don't know that's true or not. I think if I look at it all, it was a great coaching kind of atmosphere. Right, there was, you know, you just literally leave your room and 5 minutes you were in on a court, you know, down in the convention center, and the players, you could get them together. The young guys were awesome. They really did a lot of work on their game and their skills, you know, in between days of games. The games were every other day, and we were playing a pretty short team, so the vets weren't doing much other than rehabbing and you know, just trying to restore their energies. I don't know. I was impressed with our young guys, the way they were working for the future. That's one thing I would say.
With Nick Nurse, so you've got your new deal. We'll get you out of here on this. You were working on the details, and you're going to be sticking around for a while. But the point man on the MLSE side, Masai, you know, he's not locked in long-term yet. He's got 1 year left on his deal, and the anxiety in the city, it cooled off when you locked in, but now people focus on Masai. Were you in full court press mode yourself? I mean, would that come up during your negotiations, the future of Masai?
We didn't really talk about it much. I think that, you know, Masai, Bobby, and myself all came in, you know, 7 years ago together. I mean, I was only an assistant then, but we certainly make a good team. I think we all have a lot of confidence, certainly a ton of mutual respect for each other, and kind of feel like we'll be moving forward. Unless something, you know, super spectacular happens to one of the three of us, we'll all be moving forward together, you know. And if that something spectacular happens, we'll be happy for the other guy, you know.
Yep, I think that's well put. And I think we'll put a positive spin on that. All right, we'll take it and we'll run with it. You know how we roll here, Nick.
Okay. All right, guys.
Congrats on the new deal. Enjoy the offseason. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
You got it. Nick Nurse. I think that's a good sign with Masai.
Yeah.
I mean, something, what did he say, super spectacular happens,
yeah.
Which, you know, who knows what that might be, what kind of opportunity we're talking about. But he brings up a good point that the three of them have been, you know, linked here and working together for a long time, and that cohesion is incredibly important. You know, people throw out the word culture all the time, and they can't back it up. They can't find anything to, you know, I guess point to that is finite, you know, that you look at and tangible, and you're like, that's what I'm talking about. But this is an example of it. Masai,
right.
Webster, Nurse. Three of them have been working together for 7 years. The past 2 years, they've been running the whole shop. And I would say it's been the greatest 2 years in the history of the franchise.
For sure.
So
for sure.
If you can lock them all in and keep that together and keep it moving in the right direction, that is music to the ears of any Raptor fan. Jabari Greer coming up. Role play level of concern, although I will say I'm going on Nick Cage right now on whether or not we're ever going to see or hear from the O-Dog again.
Can you idiots not hear me?
No, I can't. Dude, you've been just wiped off the screen. I'm looking. All I see is me and Noodle, so I assume you're gone. I don't know if you're there. And I left. I was waiting for you to jump in. I did the reset, and I let it sit, and you just went dark on me. And
I had two great questions from Nick Nurse, and you two are just stomping over me. And then I said, let me have the last one. I was going to ask him, what was it like to finally leave the bubble and get out into real life, be back with family, blah, blah, blah. My second question was going to be, exit meetings, what kind of conversation did you have with Pascal Siakam? That was left out of the interview, and I thought it was an important part.
That would have been.
I was here to offer that, and then it's just a bozo show. No, I'm completely taken off the screen. The other time I said hello, I was about to start talking, and then
we couldn't hear
you,
man. Where you've been off,
Bruce Boudreau, and I'm on it. I'm on an email chain with Nick Caroli, and he's, you know, it's saying like Jamie can hear Gino talking. Jamie can hear this. O-Dog, and then the guy writes back and goes, O-Dog's gone. So I'm like, all right, he's gone. So he's hung up and thrown.
Yeah, don't try to. No more. Just leave that picture, that ugly picture of me up there.
Yeah, I don't know why it was ever taken off. Like that.
Exactly. I don't know either.
I don't know either. Because you got to understand, that's like we're all at home here. I assume when you're off that, I'm like you're disconnected and gone.
Yeah.
Like
I should have just went to Collingwood. But I'd like to work, and I don't need emails saying you're mailing it in. Where were you? Blah, blah, blah. And I had good questions.
Yeah, those were very appropriate. Very good.
I could not be a part of the interview, and I'm pissed off about that.
I was trying to be positive. I didn't want, to go after. I got the vibe early on that he was like, hey, I'm in the off season here, guys. I don't, you know, I just want to BS a little bit. Now, Hayes asked the couple good Larry King questions.
I don't think it was outrageous, but
no,
I think.
But good. Like
I think the Siakam one was a very good question, but I think he would have just fully supported him. He has done that publicly. He did that in his presser, you know, on the way out. He did it today. But the bubble one was a good one. That one would have been
a good one.
That's one we missed. Noodles and I, it was a two-man show, Harry and Lloyd, and we turn right, and next thing you know, we're in Oklahoma, and we could have used you. You were the scooter, buddy. We could have used you. 75 miles to the gallon with that hog on the right side of the screen, the O-Dog, the O-Cat.